Today, turned the corner. We were heading back. Sam and I were walking in the village there. Turned the corner, heading back. All of a sudden, someone opened the door to Jimmy Z's. We were like 3 blocks away, but I could smell it. Man, we both were like, just stop for a minute. It's like, do you smell that? Yeah, I smell that. Just keep walking. All right, very good. And praise the Lord. You good? Everyone all right? Hanging in there? All right. I just feel like with things like this, we're going to get to heaven and we're going to be like, I'm so glad I did that. Probably to the fact of, why didn't I do that more? Right things are good, and too many times they come far and few between when those things show up in our life. Some prayer requests tonight. We'll take a little out. Turn me down a little. And open your Bibles up to the book of 3 John. Again, I want to remind you about Lord's Supper this Saturday or this Sunday night. Lord's Supper Sunday night. On my paper, this is a two-point message. On the clock, it's a one-point message. So we'll do half tonight. And in my heart and in my mind, I feel like that the decision was somewhat divine. Whose is it? Oh, was that Mrs. Case? Because she left? Oh. Oh, Mrs. Reynolds. Mrs. Reynolds. She used to have that Japanese dance club music, so I'm glad. I'm glad that's gone. Third John. I'm going to just go right there with that. But in my mind and in my heart, I wanted to use Wednesday night for some prayer time and taking prayer requests. You know, I appreciate you trying to keep them concise. You know, we do want some information about the requests. It's not just the name, but the circumstances with it. Appreciate you not making it a 5 minute long story. That's helpful to everyone getting a request in, but I do want to give time to that on Wednesday night, so I'm okay with 10-15 minute message. I feel like we've in my heart done what I wanted to do. So the book of 3 John, hopefully you've found it by now. One of the last books of your Bible. It's not John chapter 3, it's 3 John. In verse 9 it says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, and he says this about him, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Lord, Lord, as we open up your word just for a few moments tonight, Lord, I pray you'd help us. Help us to make you preeminent. That in our hearts and in our minds and in our life, you would be the most superior priority. Lord, help us with these things. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, and it says this, who loveth to have the preeminence. The word preeminent only shows up a few times in your Bible. And here's one that wanted the preeminence. Well, there's only one that should receive the preeminence, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. The word preeminence, it's not a word we use, honestly, much at all. It's not a common word. What it means is superior. The highest priority, superiority of power or influence. So you get the mindset. The highest, the most important, And that's Christ. That's Christ. Colossians chapter 1. Diotrephes says, no, no. And it even says, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence. So I don't know how you could... take that away unless you're a pretty sharp guy. To be able to subtly or purposefully somehow steal the preeminence of Christ, this guy must have been a smart guy. This guy must have been had some sort of way with people that it was even a consideration. Because let's look at real quickly tonight, Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 13, talking of Christ. We're going to quickly move from the thought that man gets the preeminence and that why Christ gets the preeminence. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, we're speaking of Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Know what that is? Know what that is? That's a definition of the preeminence of Christ. Verse 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, it says, he might have the preeminence. Jesus Christ deserves all the preeminence. And it gave us a list of who he was. He did this, and he was before that, and he's over this. And he is the head of the body, telling me that maybe that's where Diotrephes went bad. He said, I don't need you, Christ. I can manage this myself. Whether he verbally said it or just did it in action of, I don't really need God, I'm all set, I can run this thing on my own. Because in 3 John it says that he wrote to the church. So somehow in the church, this man took authority over Christ. Psalm 89 tonight. I want to look at a bunch of verses quickly though, about the preeminence of Christ. And we have to ask ourselves the question, is this where I place the Lord Jesus Christ? Is this where he is in my life? Or have I subtly moved him off the throne? Psalm 89 and verse 27. It says this, also I will make him my firstborn. This is talking of Christ, higher than the kings of the earth. Jesus Christ isn't just preeminent in my heart and in my mind, but he's higher than any government official. He is, as the scripture says, he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is superior to all other kings. He is higher. In Hebrews chapter 1, quickly turn there. We're about a week and a half away from Resurrection Sunday, Easter. And a lot of people will portray Jesus Christ truthfully dying on the cross. But that's where they leave him. They failed to give him the superiority over death and hell. They failed to give him the priority over all those things. They almost look at him as just a broken man. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 4. You know what the book of Hebrews is about, right? Well, it's about Hebrews. Well, kind of. It's kind of written to the Hebrews. The point of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, is that Jesus is better than everything. Yeah. He's just better. It starts off from the very beginning. The author of Hebrews goes through methodically and takes the highest things in the Jew's mind or in the Jew's law and shows that Christ is better. And verse 4, being made so much better than the angels. Not only is he higher than the kings, he's higher than the angels. Brother Gip the other day was talking about Michael, right? Gabriel, the messenger. Michael, the enforcer. Jesus Christ, higher than Michael. Being made so much better. Not just like, man, he just edged him out. It was close. It was like photo finish. We had to take a look at the tape. No. Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Look at verse 6. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. You know what that makes him? Superior. Christ is superior. That even the angels worship him. The kings, he's higher than. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And verse 18. First Peter 3:18 says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. Who am I in that equation? I'm the unjust. Well, if I'm the unjust, that makes Christ the just. Correct. He's superior. He has the priority. That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh and quickened by the Spirit. Oh, here we see the superiority of his power in taking in him, being the just, bringing the unjust to the Father. In Revelation chapter 1, I love this phrase about Christ. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, he says, I am the Alpha and Omega. What does that mean? It's like I'm A to Z. I'm the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come. And he says this phrase, the Almighty. When you see that word, when God is called the Almighty, just pay attention. Because he's about to do something that no man can do. He's about to exercise his power in which no man can do. Well, here we are introduced to Jesus Christ at the beginning of the book of Revelation. Surely, the book of Revelation reveals to us the power of Christ. The Alpha and Omega, the Almighty. In John chapter 3, look here. John chapter 3 and verse 31. Talking of Christ. He that cometh from above is above all. And he that is of the earth is earthly. Is that true? Yes. What were you made out of? Earth. Therefore I'm earthly. And speaketh of the earth. The only thing I can talk about is earth. I can tell you what I've read about heaven and spiritual things, but I've never seen it. That cometh from heaven is above all. And it says, he that cometh from heaven is above all. Because he's seen both heaven and earth. He's superior. He deserves preeminence. He that cometh from above is above all. Diotrephes was mistaken. Because somewhere along the line, he made himself higher than Christ. So we look at our life. Is there an area where I've taken the preeminence over Christ? I mean, we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, last verse that we'll look at before going back to 3 John. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. Talking of the bride of Christ, and it says this, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ." I'm nobody's master or servant. You are to Christ. No, you're not. The head of every man is Christ. He's preeminent. He's over it all. So is there an area in my life where I take charge? Where I say, God, what you say isn't as important as to what I say. That's what Diotrephes did. In what area? I don't know, but I see the results of how it went for him. Say, I bet he was a nice guy. I bet he probably ran bake sales and did nice stuff. And, you know, he ran a good ship. I mean, come on. Back in 3 John, it describes him even further. And I just want to show you the results. In 3 John, verse 9, "I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not." It says this in verse 10, "Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth." He goes on to explain what he did. "Prating against us with malicious words." What does the word prating mean? It's like a idle, meaningless words. It was instigating. "And not content therewith." You know what happens when someone takes the preeminence off Christ and places it upon themselves? They become malicious. They become discontent. Hey, if in your life you feel like I'm not thankful and I'm not content with where my life is, you know what you're guilty of? Unthankfulness. No. You're unthankful. Yes, but you're guilty of taking the preeminence away from Christ. Because what you're saying is, God, you've made a mistake. I know better than you. My ways are far superior than your. This is not what I would have done. I am not content in my situation. Why do we feel that? Because we feel like God has done us wrong. And we've taken the preeminence away. "Not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church." He had malicious words. He was not content. He was not a servant. Why? Because people that are preeminent don't serve anybody else. They demand service. Well, there's only one that can do that rightfully. And that's Jesus Christ. So let's be careful that we not take on the philosophies and the mindset of Diotrephes, even to the most subtlest of ways, because we never want to take away from the preeminence of Christ, because he's superior in every area. Second half of the message was going to jump down to Demetrius, who hath a good report. We were going to end positively. I'm just letting you know. There's two guys in 3 John. Diotrephes, no good. Demetrius, hath a good report. Hey, who are you going to be? You going to be the one that is guilty of stealing the preeminence away from Christ? Hey, we're all going to be known for something. What do we know about Diotrephes? How many children did he have? What kind of car did he drive? What kind of chariot did he do? Where was his education? I don't know, but this is what I know about him. You're going to be known for something. Is it going to be you had a good report with all men and carried on truth? Or were you going to be known for the one that stole preeminence away from Christ? Say, I don't know, hey, that's not here, that's in heaven. That record is going to be cleared out. It's going to be real known what you are and what you were and all those things. Hey, this guy was in the church. It doesn't say that he was lost. It just said that he stole something. Who loveth to have the preeminence. And he was in the church. Maybe one day we're going to walk up to him. Hi, what's your name? Oh, my name's Nick. Nice to meet you. Who are you? I'm Diotrephes. Oh, I read about you. You stole the preeminence away from Christ. You took something that was not yours. Hey, let's be careful that we not be guilty of the same thing. So how do I know? Are your words malicious? Are you discontent? Are you a non-servant? What did he do? He forbiddeth them that they would come. He forbiddeth John to come, not come, the one who Christ loved. I'm sorry, we just can't get along. John? Hey, if these are some of the character traits in your life, there's a good chance you put yourself on a throne that you don't belong on. Let's all stand. Just trying to help you out. We had long services Sundays, Monday, Tuesday. I'm glad you're here tonight. First day after a meeting and we're having a church fasting day. Whoo! Shock to the system. You went out somehow throughout your day and you found tomato sauce and praise the Lord, thanks for doing that. I'm glad you're here tonight. I pray that you got a blessing. Maybe you got a blessing from the testimonies and the singing. Just seeing one another. Be encouragement one to another. We all need it. You need it. You need someone to come up and say, hey, it's good to see you tonight. And mean it. We need that. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Lord, forgive us forever. Forever trying to take your preeminence. Lord, forgive us. Lord, I pray that you'd help us with these things and Lord, that we would be honest with ourselves and with you. Lord, we love you tonight. Lord, I love this church. I'm thankful for them. Lord, I ask you to bless them. Lord, meet their needs, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.